Thank you for joining us again. Matthew chapter 8 verses 2 through 3 say that a leper came to Jesus, bowing down in worship, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Reaching out his hand, Jesus, moved with compassion, touched him, saying, "I am willing, be clean." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Leviticus chapter 13 says that a leper was to remain separated from others until he or she was clean. But here, in verse 2, it says that the leper came to Jesus bowing down in front of him. Of course, bowing down means it's a homage shown to men of superior rank. This is very similar to what the centurion did to Jesus when he came bowing down saying, "Lord, come heal my servant." This leper came to him bowing down, showing that Jesus was of superior rank. He recognized who Jesus was. Obviously, he had heard of Jesus' healing power, so he came to him understanding that he could heal him. Many people know that God can do something for them. He can heal them, deliver them, set them free, but they don't understand that he wants to. He wants to heal us, deliver us, set us free, give us life everlasting. He wants to do this. 1 John 3 verse 8 says that the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came resolving to, determined to, and purposed to do this for us. His desire was to do the Father's will, and the Father's will was to redeem us through Christ. So God sent Jesus to do this for us, and Jesus gave up a lot. He is no longer going to be the only begotten Son of God. He is going to be the firstborn among many brethren. He was sent to destroy the works of the devil and restore us to God. A lot of times in the Bible we read something that God has said, but we don't try to look at it from His side. We don't consider His viewpoint. Now, I know we can't totally consider His viewpoint because we're not God, but if you can find something in this earth that is similar to what God is saying, and you look at it through, let's say, the viewpoint of a parent, then you can kind of understand a little more about what God wants to do for us. A parent doesn't want their child to come begging to them for help. A parent wants their child to just come and ask. No good parent will let their child suffer and not try to help, especially when they're asking for it. Sometimes they don't have to ask. We just see a need and we just do things for them. That's what God does for us. The problem is that we don't think that He wants to, and that in itself creates doubt. We just need to believe what He said. Jesus said that we must become like little children. Little children will believe their parents. They'll believe what they say. They look up to them and trust them. We need to just consider what God has said and take it to heart and believe it. Even if it's hard to believe, we must try to believe anyways. The more we listen to God, the more we can believe. This is why it's so important for us to get in the Word daily, not just reading it, but meditating upon it. We must get in the Word and breathe it in like oxygen every day. This will help us believe not only that God can, but that He wants to. I believe that the wants to is more important than the can. If we believe that He wants to, I don't think we really have to believe that He can, because we will believe it already. Last week we talked about your want to, and your want to is so important. Your desire to follow the Father and do what He says and just love on Him like He loves on you, that makes things in your relationship with God so much easier. Your trust in God develops more when you spend more time with Him. You're more apt to believe Him when you spend more time with Him. And it's not necessarily just the time you spend with Him, but the quality of time you spend with Him. I could spend hours with my wife just sitting there doing nothing, or I could spend less time with her talking and communicating with her. We can become closer through our fellowship than we could if we were just next to each other. But simply being next to each other isn't fellowship. That's why going to church and reading God's word, even though it's good, it's not really fellowship. God wants a one-on-one relationship with you. He cares about you. If he didn't, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to take your place on the cross. He wouldn't have sent Jesus to rescue you from the works of the devil. He loves you. Now, let's go into verse 3. It says that Jesus reached out his hand. It does not say that he retracted his hand. He did not say, "Hey, you're a leper. You can't be close to me. I can't touch you." No, it says that Jesus reached out his hand because he was moved with compassion. Jesus has compassion for you. Regardless of what you're going through, he loves you and cares about you. It may not seem like he does sometimes, but that's when our feelings get in the way of the fact. It gets in the way of our faith. We can't let our feelings dictate our faith. We have to let our faith dictate our feelings. Otherwise, our feelings will rule our spirit instead of our spirit ruling our feelings. Our feelings are given to us of God, but they are a part of our soul, and we are a spirit first. We have a soul, and we live in a body. The first and foremost part of our being is spirit, and God wants us to know that he loves us in our spirit so that he can heal our soul and our body. When Jesus reached out to touch the leper, he was not thinking about himself, but the man. He was concerned about him. Jesus is trying to reach out and touch you because he is concerned about you. He is not concerned about himself. If he were, he wouldn't come to this earth. And he definitely wouldn't want to take our sin upon himself so that he could free us. No, everything God does is for us because he wants to. He loves us. Luke 19 verse 10 says that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come for himself, he came for us. This is a rescue mission, and he fulfilled it, and beyond. And when it says that he touched the man, he fastened his hand to and adhered to. He didn't just tap him, he put his hand on the man's head, and he gripped on it. He said, "I am willing. Be clean." How many of you want to be clean? Maybe not in body, but in your soul. You may feel like you've sinned so much and so badly that God will never love you again. But that's not true. All you have to do is have a repentant heart and recognize that Jesus became our substitute so that he could free us from sin, sickness, death, and the grave. You just need to know that God wants to do this. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me." He's not wanting us to stay away. He's wanting us to come unto him. Now, there are some things that Jesus would never say to us when we come to him. He would never say, "Hey, show me your credentials that you are worthy of this." He would never say that. We can of our own selves do nothing. We cannot say, "I'll get my life straightened out, then I'll come to God." Because we have to come to God first, then he will straighten our lives out. He's the only one who can do this. Another thing that Jesus would never say to us when we come to him is, "Really? After what you've done?" There is nothing too much that God cannot heal you and cleanse you. He is able to take whatever is broken in your life and make it new. It doesn't matter how you feel, because his faith is stronger than your feelings. All you have to do is just trust him. He will never say that what you've done is too bad for him to take care of. He'll never say, "I never heard of that before." But he will say, "That's nothing new, but my grace is sufficient for you. I can heal you, and I want to heal you." Another thing that Jesus would never say when we come to him is, "I don't feel like it. I don't feel like forgiving you, healing you, comforting you, delivering you from and through something." He will never say that because he doesn't operate off of his feelings. I think that's part of the error that we make. We think that Jesus operates off of his feelings, like his anger or his disgust with us. He doesn't. He only operates out of love, and God's love is higher than human love. Our human love can be soul-based, and that's where we get into trouble. We don't base our love off of God's love. We base our love off of what we feel, and that again is of the soul. The agape love of God is what we should model our love after, and we should always look to him as our example to follow. Another thing Jesus wouldn't say is, "You're not worth the hassle." No, we don't deserve what he gives us, but because of what Christ has done, we are worthy. God no longer looks at us as disgusting sinners. He looks at us as his own children. I've used 1 John 3:1 many times, but I can never use it enough. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." God gave birth to us, and we are his. As long as we have asked God for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, we have become his children. We have the DNA of God flowing through our spirit. He will never say that we're not worth the hassle. The Bible also says, even when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So yes, we are worth it. Now Jesus also would never say, "How many times do I have to do the same thing for you?" God is gracious. People have asked, "Does God's grace end?" No, it never ends unless we refuse it. As long as we are accepting God's grace, if we're sincerely coming to him and repenting, even if we go sin again many times, as long as we are truly repentant, he will forgive us. His grace will cover us, and we will be forgiven. But we should never take the grace of God for granted and keep sinning, thinking, "Oh, I'll just ask for forgiveness after I've done it." No, we need to resist the devil, as the Bible says. We must grow stronger in our faith, especially in these last days, if we're going to make it. Now, when Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest," remember, he is the one who will give us rest. We can't do it of ourselves. We have a problem with how we are reading the scripture. We often emphasize only one part of the verse and focus only on that. I like to read the verses of the Bible multiple times. Each time I read it over, I like to emphasize another part of the verse. I've used the example of John 3:16. One time I'll read it like this: "For God so loved the world." Another time I emphasize a different part: "For God so loved the world." And then I might even say, "For God so loved the world." You see, when we stop and emphasize different parts of it, we can start to capture the whole picture. The whole picture is made up of multiple colors and multiple shapes and forms. Meditating upon a few verses over and over again gives us more than if we were to read multiple chapters and just cover the surface. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus was talking about the seed, the word of God, and the more that you read through that parable, the more you understand that the deeper you go in the word, and the word goes in you, the better it will be. You will have not just a plant, but you will have fruit at the end. And that's what we need to do. We need to meditate on the word of God, considering all the different viewpoints. And we need to see ourselves as precious and loved by God. We also need to understand that his love is not based upon us, but based upon him and his desire for us. He thinks about us all the time. He doesn't even think about himself. He doesn't demand worship. When he said in the Old Testament, "I am a jealous God," it means that he wants to protect us. He wants to take care of us, and he doesn't want the devil to have us. That's not because God has an ego. It's because God has so much love to give, because he cares about us. The devil only cares about himself and what he can get. Ever since he got kicked out of heaven for trying to get the throne from God, he's been thinking that way ever since. He never does anything to help us. He does it only to help himself. And if that means giving us a little bit of what we want, well, that's what he'll do. But God will not deceive us. He'll give us what we need. And we need his love. We need his help. The devil can never help us the way God can. God loves us. He cares about us. He craves to help us. The devil only craves to help himself. One way we can meditate upon the word of God and see how God wants to help us is to put our name in there in the place of the leper. If I did it, the verse would read something like this. I came to Jesus, bowing down in worship and saying to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean of this sin. Reaching out his hand, Jesus, with compassion, touched me, saying, I am willing. Be clean. And instantly, I was cleansed of my sin. We can also look at it through the eyes of Jesus. It would read like this. A leper came to me, bowing down in worship and saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean of this sin. I was filled with compassion, so I reached out my hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be clean. Instantly, he was cleansed of his sin. Looking at that verse through different angles, we can see that God, acting through Jesus, was trying to help us, not hurt us, not deprive us, but help us. That is his loving desire. How much does he love us? Well, we'll be meditating upon that for the rest of our life and into eternity. The love of God is so vast and so wide and so strong that we can never comprehend it all. However, to comprehend more of it and understand a little more of it can fill us. Like Psalms 107 verse 9 says, he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. God doesn't just want to give us something, he wants to give us everything. He loves to give to us. Here is another I will scripture that I'd like to bring to your attention. John 6:37, it says that Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never reject them or send them away. All we have to do is come to him in the manner that Hebrews 11 verse 6 says when it reads, he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By seeking him, we are giving our full attention to him and we are willing to give ourselves to him in return. That way, when we give to him after he's given to us, he can give to us again. He can say, I will, and then we say, I will, and then he says, I will even more. God designed his love to be a circuit. As in a circuit of electricity, you have to have a loop that goes out and comes back in order to keep the flow of electricity going. That's the way God designed his love. He wants to give us his love, and then we give him our love, and then he is able to give us more love. God designed it that way. It's his will to do this. Do you know God's will for you? No, I'm not just talking about being born again and making it to heaven. I'm talking about, do you know his desire? Do you know what he wills to do for you? He is more than willing to do it. Are you willing to receive it? Don't lose sight of his will to love you and care for you over what you can receive from him. Remember, what he wants for you is greater than what you could ever receive or possess in this world. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that many will understand what you will to do for us. You don't just want to put up with us. You want to bless us abundantly with spiritual blessings. You might give us more than just that, but that's the main thing that we need, Father, from you. We need peace in our heart, in our soul, and in our body. And the only way that we can receive that is if we accept what you will for us. Help us to see more of your will to love us every day of our lives on this earth and into eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.